Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
How long before parents just start naming their kids Instagram handles? Like, oh, this is at Dustin Whitworth.
I personally always enjoy the hunts where we all three get to be on it. That was Nevada this year.
Whether it was selling a hunting product or going on hunts, they were waking up every day and dealing with hunting stuff, and I thought, you know, I'm going to give that a try. The groomsmen and bridesmaids come right behind them. By the time I got down the aisle, Corey and Teresa already had drinks in their hand. And I'm like, well, you're not in Utah anymore. We're always chasing that next tag, and that's good, but at the same time, like, dial it back and say, you know what? Like, the evil that I know is better than the evil that I don't know, and I'm just going to keep hunting this unit.
Learning and getting to know the ins and outs of the state so you can take, you know, $100 or $1,000 and turn it into the best value possible is super important.
I'm Dustin.
This is Corey.
And we're with Team Backcountry, and you're listening to the Living Country in the City podcast.
Y'all ready for your dose of flyover state spirit? Straight from the concrete jungle? Well, put down your latte and pull on your boots. It's time for Living Country in the City.
Hey, y'all, welcome to episode 116 of Living Country in the City. Y'all, this is it. It is time. This is the last official episode of Living Country in the City. From now on, as you tune in, all these episodes will be the Wild Initiative. Y'all may have seen some of my different properties here online changing. I'll tell y'all what, rebranding something that is several years old and has a decent amount of following is a giant pain in the butt. I would not recommend it, but I'm really excited about the Wild Initiative. I really think it is something that will continue to grow with me, and honestly, from y'all's perspective, not much is going to be changing, except you'll be getting more great content every week. But y'all, this last episode of Living Country in the City is a bit of a bittersweet moment for me. Living Country in the City, it changed my life. If it wasn't for starting this brand and this podcast and then meeting all of you that kind of came along with starting something like this, I would have no idea where I would be. So from me to y'all, I just want to say a huge thank you. You have been an integral part of me really finding out who I truly am. And I am looking forward to continue that journey with y'all as the Wild Initiative. So before we get on to the final episode of Living Country in the City, I want to give a huge shout out to Sawyer Products. As always, they have really been supporting Living Country in the City for a long time. They're going to continue on supporting the Wild Initiative. Y'all, there are just some products that you really need when you're out in the backcountry: water filtration, insect repellent, and depending on your trip, sunscreen as well. Y'all Sawyer has been making these products for over 30 years. They are tested, they are reliable, and they are pretty much bulletproof. Y'all, I stand by their products wholeheartedly, and I use them on every single trip. So I want to make sure y'all head on over to Sawyer.com, check out their whole lineup of products, whether it's their water filtration, their insect repellent, sunscreen, first aid. They've got all of those products you need to stay in the outdoors for longer this hunting season. All right, y'all, now on to the final episode. Y'all that have been listening since my very first year putting out the podcast may remember all the way back to episode 20 where I talked to Dustin Whitwer of Team Backcountry. Well, y'all, I have Dustin back on the podcast along with Corey, who y'all heard from during the recent episode talking about crispy boots. Y'all, we have a really good time just chatting, just catching up what's going on in their lives and talking about hunting. We also have some fun little guest interruptions as we were at Hunt Expo, and it's just a given. You can't sit down for more than 30 seconds without about 10 people you know walking by. So without any further ado, I hope you all enjoy episode 116 of Living Country in the City with Dustin Whitwer and Corey Beckendorf of Team Backcountry.
Well, we are back, and this is probably the quietest it will be for the rest of the podcast I record. Here at Hunt Expo, it is the morning before, what's today, Friday?
The storm.
Yeah, calm before the storm.
Today, still, I don't think we'll be too awful. Tomorrow is when it's going to be
the world. It's going to be slammed here today.
It's going to be my literal hell.
Yeah.
It's funny, though. Like, this is the first year that I've worked for a company that's, you know, had a presence at all of the trade shows, right? So I've gone through, now I'm on the tail end of, like, what you would call a trade show season in the hunting industry. And it's just another day in the office. My eyes are glazed over. I'm just like, okay, back, like, show up at the booth, talk about hunting stuff, go back to your hotel room, do it all over again tomorrow. So,
yeah. I mean, and there's a lot worse. To be honest, I'd rather be busting my butt out here, getting exhausted and talking hunting with people than sitting staring at spreadsheets.
Doesn't feel as much like work for sure.
No, it really doesn't.
Albeit my knees don't hurt as much after a day at work typically. Well, if y'all don't recognize those dulcet tones way back from episode 20, that is Mr. Dustin Whitwer of Team Backcountry.
Howdy.
And now the Finding Backcountry podcast. All sorts of new things. And this time we finally got him on. Was not available last time around because he was kind of, you know, too cool for us. You know, I only had 20 episodes under my belt. He's like, no. Wait till this guy gets up, you know, above 90, 100.
Yep, that's me.
All right, you're going to have to...
Corey Beckendorf.
The last, okay. Team I didn't want to massacre your last name.
It's very phonetic. It's a much easier to spell and say.
Beckendorf.
Beckendorf.
I thought there was an R in there. I think that's where I was going to screw it up.
I just don't enunciate it at the end. Dorf.
I was thinking Brecken at the beginning.
Sure.
Brecken.
The great thing about Corey is he'll answer to anything.
It's true.
So. Yeah.
Just don't, Garcon?
Just make sure you put an E in my name.
is that the big faux pas? Just the C-O-R-Y?
You know, my parents knew when they had me that I was going to be smart enough to remember five letters. So they spelled my name correctly. Any Corey's out there without an E, you know, their parents just were kind of questioning, so they knew they needed to shorten it up a little bit.
He's practiced this, hasn't he?
Yeah. It's not his first time.
Yeah.
Well, before we get going, I just want to say a huge shout-out to Sawyer Products for their continual support of the podcast. They have been, for over a year at this point, been supporting Living Country in the City.
We used one of their products for the first time this year, and I vividly remember laying on my back at a stream on the way out of Nevada after, like, day 9. Yeah. And I pretty typically use little tablets to, you know, the Aqua Tabs or whatever. And we're out of water. It was the toughest water year in Nevada that we've ever seen. Like, we typically, you know, or half an hour to a good stream and half an hour back in there. And we took a 6-hour round trip at one point. Completely smoked on water, dehydrated. Dustin had, I don't know what the product's called, like the...
The squeeze
bag. I don't know what they call it, but it's that squeeze bag that's...
I vividly remember...
Sawyer squeeze.
Laying down, llamas are drinking water, and Dustin's just baby burden. Water in my
mouth. Yeah, that's good. Get it in there, nice. Real good. Enjoy that water.
Oh, man.
No, I was pretty happy about that product at that point. So
at least he's baby burden water and not mama burden protein bars.
Right, yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. But yeah, I honestly, I love their products. This year in Colorado, I got to use their gravity filtration system for the first time. That thing, people are like, oh, you know, how are they? No joke. The filtration's great. It's bulletproof. I've never had a problem with the water after that, and I've filtered some gnarly stuff. But it's fast. It's not like, you know, you get that one filter where it's like you attach it and you just watch it like drip. But the gravity filtration system is just fast, man. Yep. Like you're not having to leave it overnight. Under 5 minutes for a gallon of water.
That's awesome.
I was sitting there. We were my buddy had his run in. We had like about gallon water bags that we were just filling at any given time, and I get like two or three by the time he'd get one, one filtered out. So it was definitely good products, and I love their insect repellents, the best stuff I've ever used in my life.
Really?
Predator calling in Arizona in August. Oh my gosh, it's just like swarms around your face.
Yep.
I'd put it on the first day, like I just forgot to use it. We went out last minute. And then after that, I sit down and it's like they're like hovering around me. Like they're all around me, but none of them are like landing on my face. They're just kind of, it's like parting in the swarm. It was the kind of coolest thing I've seen. Anyway, that was a long
commercial.
Long commercial plug. Right there. Yeah.
Really. You're welcome, Sawyer Products.
There we go. But yeah, so episode 20 was the last time I chatted with you, Dustin. We've hung out a few times since then. A couple of expos, a total archery challenge when I totally didn't recognize you.
Yeah, we walked through the parking lot together, and I kind of recognized him. And yeah, it was.
We were just talking for a minute. And you're like, you don't remember who I am, do you?
Pretty humbling that I had been on his podcast and he didn't recognize me. But that's the world we live in now. I've had multiple guys at these trade shows show up and be like, hey, it's me. And I'm like, hey, you, how's it going? And they're like, oh, it's...
You don't have a name badge on,
yeah,
sir.
It's so-and-so. It's John Doe. I'm like, I don't know you, man. Oh, it's, you know, Big Bucks 365. Oh, your Instagram handle. Like, yeah, I know you. We're good friends.
Yeah. Well, especially, like, for me, I don't have... Even the people that recognize me, a lot of them don't have any idea what my name is because I don't have it on my Instagram. You know, occasionally I'll mention it or somebody will comment about it, but I've had a lot of people that afterwards they've come up and they're like, yeah, I'd like ask so-and-so what your name was before we started meeting. I'm like, oh, it is. No, I'm fine. And I'm the last person, because I'm that way, when people get all like embarrassed and have to ask me my name or whatever the name of the podcast, I'm like, I don't really expect you to. But
I sold guns for 4 or 5 years, and I met so many people here in Salt Lake in that time frame and like built a relationship, you know, in half an hour for what it was. And I'm so terrible with names. Guys will walk up and it's like, I know what you bought 2 years ago, but I don't know your name. There's not even like, I'll just guess.
Well, that's what's important is remembering the guns they bought.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Way more important than their name.
Well, that's good because that's all I can do. Like,
Well, I'll remember a face till the day I die, which makes it even harder here because you roll up and like someone you may not have ever met or like even, I mean, most of these people you come up and it's like you see them across the room and you're both kind of looking at each other like, do we follow each other? Have we just talked on Instagram or have we actually met before?
Yep.
Or then you meet the person that you've been talking to for like a year and a half. You finally meet them and you're like, do I introduce myself or do I give you a hug?
Yeah.
Yep. Is it a handshake or a bro hug or
how long before parents just start naming their kids Instagram handles like this is at
right.
Dustin Whitwer.
I don't think we're that far. If a celebrity's gonna do it, then a lot of celebrities are gonna do it. And then It's the trickle down effect,
yeah,
for
society's gone.
Really lousy names. Anyway, so so yeah, it's been a while since we've chatted. A few things have changed up since then. We have the now Finding Backcountry podcast. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, started it on a whim. Just decided that I loved being on your podcast so much. I thought, hey, you know, why don't I start my own podcast? And I don't know how that all started, honestly. Well, everyone's starting a podcast nowadays. That's how it started. And I wanted to be no different than everyone else. And so I started my own podcast.
In.
Yeah,
you
I wanted in on that. But no, it kind of, you know, it ended up turning into something there for a while. And it's ironic because at this moment I've shut it down for the last few months. And being at this back at Hunt Expo has actually nudged me towards firing it back up, because I've had quite a few people finally come up and express interest in when we were going to be releasing another episode. But
best feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was cool you went like a solid year. It's like when you jump into the gym, it's like you're not just doing it for a month. You did one a week for a little over a year, right? You did...
Yeah, it was
60
almost
episodes?
Almost exact. No, not quite. It was like 50 something, but yeah, it was like almost exactly a year. And then you talked about just things have changed, and since we talked last, you know, I was peddling insurance, just living the dream, as we said in the industry. But things have changed. I just kind of on a whim decided that, you know, I didn't want to. Not that there's anything wrong with that, and I loved the guys I worked with, and it was a good good career, but just really decided that I'd wake up and chase my passion, and just knew that I wasn't so specific, like it's got to be this one thing, but I knew that like throughout my whole life, hunting's been one of those constant passions, you know. I'm the type of guy that'll pick up a passion, you know, almost weekly or daily.
You're preaching to the choir on that one.
Yeah. We're all that way, right?
You guys heard of this golf thing?
right. Or the gym, or I believe it's pronounced the yim.
The yim.
The yim.
You know, and we're all like that, right? Like we like to try things, and some things stick and some things don't. And hunting's definitely stuck. I mean, I've been in it 32 years and just.
It's part of who you are.
Right. And so, you know, it's like, not looking for anything super specific, but I knew I wanted to deal with something in the hunting industry and give that a try. You know, I saw these guys that were waking up every day and hunting, whether it was selling a hunting product or going on hunts or making a hunting product or whatever, they were waking up every day and dealing with hunting stuff. And I thought, you know, I'm going to give that a try.
And that's why you started the podcast.
And that, yeah. yeah.
Because that's how it worked.
Yeah, because that podcast made me so much money.
Well, and I kind of felt like selling insurance, like you wanted to be more, like you wanted it to be a bigger part of your life, hunting. And so, like, that podcast was a good outlet for you.
It really.
Because you didn't have it, you know.
Yeah, that's really, I think, a lot of it, you know. Yeah, I needed to scratch that itch, and that podcast is a really good way to do that. Yep. Anyway, so fast forward, I ended up accepting a job with a long-range rifle company called Gunworks. And, you know, they've been in that industry for quite a while, and I've definitely known who they are. I will be the first to admit that I'm not necessarily a long-range shooting expert by any means. I understand the basics of the industry and some specifics. I've reloaded my entire life from, you know, my grandpa down to my dad and down to me. And so, you know, I probably understand a little tiny, like a little bit more than the average guy about it, but really not. I don't. And so, but I had a good sales background, and that's what I do for them. And I'm learning every day more and more about, you know, what makes a good long range rifle and what guys need and what sets us apart and all those kind of things. And so, yeah, I've been with, I moved, it was a huge, that's part of the reason the podcast got shut down is it was, you know, if you can imagine just picking your family up almost on a whim and,
yep.
and just, you know, leaving the state, leaving, driving three states away to, we moved from Southern Nevada up to Cody, Wyoming. We actually live in Powell. And just starting a whole nother, just starting over, just doing it all, you know, just let's start this whole deal over again, and bought a house, and that was, you know, a big deal. And so, yeah, that's been since the 1st of November. So 2 or 3, 4 months or whatever, and just loving it. I sell guns for Gunworks and live in Wyoming, and I know I'm not going to regret moving to Wyoming for the hunting opportunity. You know, that's for sure.
You know, I like to play devil's advocate, and that was, Dustin was actually looking for a job for me when he found it, and it was one of those things that I lost my job this last summer, and he was looking for a job for me, and I was hunting, and he said, I'm going to apply. If you're not going to apply for this job, I'm going to. And so he applied for the job and got an offer, and or kind of knew an offer was coming. And so he was talking to me about, you know, moving his family and everything. And I was trying to, like, you know, give him good advice. We call each other and we talk tags, we talk life, you know, whatever. And he, it just, like, we were on the phone with each other, and it just kind of clicked that we, when Dustin turns into a Wyoming resident, we now get to hunt wilderness.
Cha-ching.
And I was like, yeah, I think you should just pack up your wife.
You really,
you know,
yeah,
just like uproot your family and get in there, you know?
Like, yeah, this job is definitely for you,
yep,
or one of us in our group.
This is your destiny, Dustin.
So. Yeah, no, that was interesting how that all happened. And I've replayed it a bunch of times because, you know, anyone that knows me or Corey, if you didn't know and I told you that one of us got a job at Gunworks and one of us didn't, they would, every single person would say, oh yeah, that's Corey. Like, Corey got the job at Gunworks. And it happened how it happened. You know, and I've replayed it a lot in my mind, and I just, the best answer I have is I think that the Lord, has a plan, and I don't know why it worked out that way. It just wasn't the right time, for Corey and his family. And it just wasn't, he just wasn't the guy that was supposed to be up there. And it, you know, it just kind of got pushed to me, and it worked out, and I love it. But yeah, no doubt Corey knows more probably about long range shooting than I do. So it's funny, every so often, I'll get a call at work and I'm like, you know, that's a real technical question. I wonder what Corey, it's almost as if he does work there.
You're outsourcing.
Because I have all this resource that I can tap into.
Well, and so, you did end up getting a decent job, I'd say.
Yeah, no, I'm psyched on it. So I lost my job. I got married in into June. Dustin flew out to Iowa to experience a traditional Iowa wedding. Handballs.
A lot of drinking.
Yeah. It was
not by me necessarily, but yeah, a lot of
everybody,
generally
but
speaking,
Dustin,
a lot of.
Yeah.
Was it just corn served at the wedding too?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was some.
So let me hold on. Let's just talk about this because I've never experienced anything like this. Right? We're they get married.
My wife
in this.
Teresa's a saint. She's from Wisconsin,
oh,
and I'm from
Saint
Iowa.
Teresa. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Side note: Teresa's the best person ever. But
yeah,
I fly out there, and I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We have our weddings in our temples, and it's different. That's all I'm going to say. It's a lot more chill than
slightly
this.
More traditional.
Slightly more traditional. So there I am. I show up at this Iowa wedding, and they're getting married at this very nice venue. Like, you know, in the wintertime, it's like a ski resort, but it's this really nice, like, log cabin-y
it's
looking.
It's the finest ski resort Iowa has to offer.
Yeah, that doesn't say much, but the venue is nice, and so there we are. There's basically an open bar in the back of this lodge room, this huge room that they're getting married in, and they put their alcoholic beverages down just long enough to get married. Yep. And when I say that, I mean literally, they come down the aisle and there's like five or six, you know, bridesmaids and groomsmen, and we all come down. They do the ceremony. It takes about 5-10 minutes. Corey and Teresa leave the aisle first. The groomsmen and bridesmaids come right behind them. By the time I got down the aisle, Corey and Teresa already had drinks in their hands. And I'm like, well, you're not in Utah anymore.
Yep.
This is interesting. So
a little different. Yeah, no, it was fun. It was a fun wedding. I was psyched Dustin came. You know, I'm in Salt Lake, so is my wife, and So we drove out, Dustin flew out, came and stood up. I had six groomsmen that are best dudes on the planet.
That's awesome.
Dustin was the only one not having a beer. But
root beer.
No. So I got married, lost my job right when I got back from Iowa. Just kind of some unfortunate circumstances. Happened to be right before hunting season. My wife, rather than getting an annulment, she decided to let me hunt for 2.5 months. So had a heck of a hunting season, and then got a job offer. Kendall Card, who's a co-owner of a company called Crispy. We've had a relationship team backcountry-wise for 2 or 3 years now. They've been great to us.
And talking about, once again, just some of the best people on the earth, Card is definitely that list.
And his co-owner, Mark, same deal. I didn't really have a relationship with Mark. Him and I have gotten pretty close over the last 6 months. But they, I was pretty fortunate that Kendall knew me, kind of knew my character, and I kind of walked into a great job. So I working for Crispy Boots, doing a little bit of everything. We run pretty lean over there, so I'm shipping and customer service and placing orders and, a rep, and I'm here at the show talking boots. And
come this fall, we're going to be testing and development team.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
Whether they know it or not.
Yeah, I'm going to be breaking boots, and it's been a great gig, and I'm pretty fortunate all the pieces kind of fell into place, like Dustin was saying, that because I considered that Gunworks job and a few other jobs, and didn't need to move my family, didn't, I'm still in Salt Lake. I show up to the office.
Still got a good job.
Yeah, we got a ping pong table in the office. Like, life's good. So, no, I'm working for Crispy Boots now, and it's been – it's been a blessing. I wish I would have got in on it 3 years ago when they started the operation. But
there we go.
It's been pretty fun. So breaking boots.
Yeah, man. It's speaking of breaking boots, we had a little discussion earlier.
Yeah, he's got a pair of Laponias on, which is kind of a light hiker. It's actually.
You know what though? Who else I ran into from Harvest Health? He wears the Laponias.
Yep.
And his were just as bad as mine. I look down, I'm like, we're twinning with these thrashed boots right now.
You know who else's favorite boot that is South Cox.
Really?
And that's what he wears. And he's actually coming to the show today. I love about the show is like all the cool kids show up.
I'm going to have to say hi to him. I've had him on the podcast before. We had a really good chat just about trad hunting and, and stuff. So I'll have to say hi to him.
Stupid sport. South is the real deal.
Yeah, but he rocks in Laponia. And I followed him. We went into Colorado this year on a 10-day hunt, and I was calling elk for him. And he rocks the Laponia, and it's a great boot. I think he's crazy for packing the weight like he does. I mean, we had 348 pounds of boned out elk meat to pack out of there, and he did it in those things.
Jeez. So I'll admit, like, I love my boots. I have my Hunters. Those things are, I mean, obviously, they're like, they're like
that's
the tank.
F-350, diesel.
I mean, not turning this into the full Crispy podcast. We're going to do that later. But, like, I've gone through some gnarly stuff, and those are the sole reason I haven't, like, broken off my foot. Like, not talking about rolling an ankle. Like, I would have broken off my foot if it wasn't for those boots.
Yeah.
These things, I've been walking on flat ground, and there was a little rock, and I nearly and I like couldn't walk on my ankle the next day. These are the most comfortable boot in the world, but they're not meant to have a ton of ankle support.
Exactly. And he asked me, he's like, should I resole these? I looked at him, I go, no, those things are smoke. Throw them away. Get some new ones.
Well, I mean, you can only see the ground through the sole. I mean,
right.
No. It's funny because we can learn a lot from our wives, right? And that is, like, there literally is a different shoe for every occasion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think we sometimes forget that with boots. Hunting boots, we just think that, there's going to be one that's going to rule them all. If there was, it would be the Crispy Nevada.
Yep.
Shameless plug. It's the best boot that's ever been made. But it's still, if you're in cold weather or you're trying to just – trail cameras, for example, if we're running a trail camera circuit in the summer, my brother, mm-hmm. Jason, he'll just throw on, a pair of those lightweight hikers, like you're saying, and just bomb in for a day, cover, 15,
crossover.
20 miles in a Crispy crossover. And you just don't need the horsepower of those heavy tread, you know, Nevadas to, because you're not handling the weight and you're not, you know, it's just different occasions. So.
Well, you know, I've noticed like the difference when I'm wearing the Hunter. I mean, yeah, you want to talk about different, the opposite ends of the spectrum between the Laponias and the Hunter. Like I notice like a difference in how sore and tired I get from hiking because you're lifting like poundage extra with those.
You know, and it was a realization for me that like South, I love surrounding myself with people who really know what they're doing. Then I don't have to do any research, and I respect South's opinion on, you know, pretty much everything that goes hunting, especially mule deer. Mm-hmm. And I go in there with a pair of boots that I think are tried and true, and I think it's the best boot on the planet. And he's wearing a polar opposite boot. You know what I mean? And so, and he's the best, right? And one of the things I realized, one thing I learned from South while he's in there, he's just a freaking grinder. Like all day long, every second he's awake.
Singularity of purpose.
He's just trying to figure out how to kill an elk. It's incredible. It doesn't matter if he thinks he needs to wake up at 1 a.m. if that's going to be give him the best advantage. That's what he's doing. But one of the things he does while he's hunting, and I realized this following him because he kept, you know, we had four of us in there. It's like, why are you guys being so loud?
He's
you
babysitting. Know? He feels like he's babysitting his kids.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm in a big, heavy boot, which, you know, your footfall is going to be heavier. You can't be as quiet. You can't feel the ground under you. And he's in those Laponias. He moves so quietly and efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
All the freaking time. Now he's like 40 pounds lighter than me.
In his defense, yeah, he's about, what, 5'9", and probably a 160.
Yeah.
So that helps.
Yeah. So. But, yeah, I mean, everywhere he goes, he's incredibly quiet, whether, you know, we need to be or not. And it was a real learning experience for me. I could jump over logs he was going under. But other than that.
Advantage to him.
He's a pro at finding – looking at the landscape and finding the most efficient way to use the landscape, which was pretty fun to learn.
That is not a skill I have.
Yeah, no. His.
I mean, I can pick a decent enough path, like, if you're just trying to get somewhere. But, like, I'm the worst person at looking at a point and figuring out, okay, like, this is where that point's going to be when I'm, like, trying to relocate those deer at this angle and this and that.
Have you done the whole take a picture on your cell phone trick? Yeah.
My problem I run into is with the depth perception.
Right.
You know, where you'll have like okay, you know, you pick like two or three land points and you're like, okay, that bush that's shaped like a beetle, a VW bug or something. And then this one tree that the dead tree that splits like this. Like those are my two points. I can reorient myself and the deer right in between them. I go up and I'm like, crap. There's no bush that looks like a VW bug over here.
Right,
and that either because, you know, my angle's changed enough to where it doesn't look at all like that, or, oh, it was two bushes that are actually 20 yards apart, and from this angle, like, you know, there's nothing. And oh, that was, like, two trees, and, and I'm like, well, crap. It's a learned skill for sure.
You know, and we've talked about this before, whether on this podcast or probably on mine, but advantage to the guy who's willing to hunt the same area year after year after year, right? So, you know, take Nevada, the place that we hunted in Nevada for the last 6 or 8 years. We had literally hunted the same canyon for that whole entire time. And the first 4, 5, 6, half a dozen stalks across the canyon, 50% of the time you'd screw it up.
Yep.
You'd think you're in a spot and you're not. Well, then all of a sudden, without even realizing it, Mr. John Bear walking by. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, said the all auction, the, cool
the auctioneer
there.
Himself. I believe I would. Come on back, cowboy. Come on back, cowboy. I believe I would.
Sold.
If you
all
know,
the cool
you know.
Kids are here.
Yeah. But no, you know, back to my story. Like all of a sudden, 4 or 5 years into that hunt, I started without realizing it. Like we were making this stalk across this canyon, and I knew. I said, no, we're not going to want to go up there. We got to stay on this lower shelf because there's a certain clump of trees right here that I've been there. I've looked over this exact ridge, tried to stalk a buck right here, and I remember that it doesn't work that way. Like, you can't – you're not going to have the angle from there that you think – and, you know, and so on and so forth. And it's a sickness, right? It's like it's a two-edged sword that we all have as hunters, Western hunters specifically, that we're always chasing that next tag. or that next, like, oh, where's the next best unit in the West? And this buck, you know, they're killing these big bucks here, and maybe I want to go there this year. And that's good because, you know, if we don't, you know, if you're not exploring a new area, you know, at least one a year, you're probably not, you know, in the best hunting units or whatever. But at the same time, like, it's tough for guys, I think, to just dial it back and say, you know what, like, the evil that I know is better than the evil that I don't know. Yeah. And I'm just going to keep hunting this unit for one more year because all that hard work's going to pay off tenfold, you know, the second, third, fourth, fifth year that I'm in there. And we started seeing that in Nevada. We finally started knocking down some, you know, respectable deer. But it was just from a lot of it was from years and years of making those same mistakes in those canyons.
Knowing the right place to camp where you're not blowing canyons out with wind or with deer or anything. And
be signing an autograph.
We will if you want one.
He's solid, man. If you've never been to a John Bear auction, you haven't been to an auction. Like
his
voice
was made to sell stuff.
Oh, he had me bidding on a tag. I mean, I don't even have $50,000. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to jump in here. I believe I would.
I may have to sell my family into servitude, but so that interlude, but
right.
Anyway, what were we talking about before I totally
just hunting,
distracted?
Hunting in general. Let's talk
about Nevada.
Let's talk hunting.
That's a good thing to talk about on a podcast.
It's application season. We could roll through.
I was actually going to ask, what are you guys looking at this year? What's on the plate? Give me specific units and basins.
everybody got their phones out for the GPS coordinates of the deer we found. No, Dustin and I talk about every other day this time of year, trying to hash everything out.
I have a better relationship with Corey right now than my wife.
Jay, the three of us, over the years, we've really learned, like, we kind of get spread thin. I personally always enjoy the hunts where we all three get to be on it. That was Nevada this year. Dustin and I got to sneak off on an antelope hunt as well this year together. But it's tough, you know, with applications. We're all residents of different states.
Yeah.
Which throws another kink in the plan, and have life.
Are you able to put in, like, group applications, residents and non-residents?
It turns everybody into a non-resident. Ooh. In states that you can do it,
it usually turns
a resident into a non-resident.
That's tough.
Yeah, it's always a fine line, you know, when you have guys that you want to hunt with that are so active in the point building applications in seven or eight Western states. Like, you know, if you had your group of hunting buddies and you just hunted your home state for, you know, the random tags that you can draw there, it's really not as big of a deal. But, you know, when you're trying to coordinate,
what's happening, Isaac?
When you're trying to
all
coordinate
the cool
between,
kids are here.
Oh, Mr. Isaac Ellman.
Man, all these
I've seen your boy.
Guest poppin' on the podcast.
Isaac Ellman.
How you doing, man?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Sorry to interrupt you guys' podcast.
Oh, you're never
you're never an interruption, brother. Good to see you. Man, this is just like – that's what happens when you podcast next to the bathrooms here at Hunt Expo.
You're getting all the cool kids have to walk by.
I mean, do I need to pull out – I've got another microphone here.
We don't either.
Good to see you, bro.
Good to see you, Isaac.
I don't even – oh, you're talking about applications.
Well, I was going to say, I love Isaac.
He's an awesome dude.
I had a Total Archery Challenge 2 years ago. I'd never met him before. I had no idea who he was. And I was just kind of hanging around, you know, the booth area. And, I mean, you guys know me. I'll talk to anyone. Like,
don't know a stranger.
And so I just sat down and just talked with him for – I mean, we probably talked for an hour just about absolutely nothing and everything and hunting and this and that. And
Isaac's one of the good ones. He's a good dude.
He walked by as I'm like – it was the end of the challenge. And I'm, like, sitting there literally in – like, just kind of – chilling in the back of my rental truck that I had, and I'm literally like counting splintered carbon.
Yeah,
and he walks by. He's like, "Dude," he's like, "You need to be using some Eastons."
Yeah,
and I'm like, I mean, I don't know. These work well enough for me. Like, I have no idea who he is.
Sure.
And I'm like, these work well enough for me. I've never really had a reason to change. I'm just a terrible shot. And he's laughing, and I'm like, I don't really know anyone that uses Eastons. And he's looking at me like, you have no idea what I do you? I'm like, no.
Nope.
He's like, all right, let's talk later.
Right, right.
I'm like, okay. And yeah, so, but I do love my Eastons. Anyway.
Back but to application season.
Oh, yeah. So we just passed up what, as of the time we're recording this, Arizona just happened the other day.
Yep.
Arizona Elk and Antelope was the two you had to get in.
And then Wyoming was the 31st for Elk.
For non-resident Elk.
Yeah. I don't know what your guys' resident timeline.
So in Wyoming, just having moved there and kind of going through it, you have to live there for 365.
Oh, wow.
So it's, you know, there's no wiggle room there. Yep. And so I'll still be considered, and
non-resident.
A non-resident there. So I put an app in for that non-resident elk tag. I was in an interesting situation there because I had been building non-resident elk points in Wyoming for like 9 years,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have resident elk points. And so if I don't draw this year, I've basically wasted 9 points there. So,
what you're saying is if you don't use it,
you lose it. Exactly. We can all relate to that. And so I probably was more risky than I should have been. I applied for a really good unit that I have. Last year we had with 9 points, I had an average chance, 60% maybe. And I probably should have been more aggressive at either applying in the special draw, which usually gets you better odds in Wyoming. You literally just pay twice as much to be in a different pool and the demand goes down. Or I should have maybe found a unit that wasn't as highly sought after. But, you know, I like to live dangerously. And yep. So
there you go.
Here we go, nine points on the line. So hopefully have that tag, maybe still be able to cash in some Nevada points, and then I don't know, you know,
I've got a Utah limited entry elk tag that I'm on, you know, kind of on the hot seat for drawing. So 2 years ago it was kind of the year for mule deer. I think we drew, was that 2 or 3 years ago, we between the three of us we had like 9 or 10 mule deer tags.
They all run together.
And this year is gonna suck because elk are a lot heavier to pack. Yeah. And could be the year of the elk. We'll see.
Gonna suck. Yeah. You have to pack out elk.
Yeah.
Well, we'll still mix in plenty of mule deer. Like, yeah. You know, and we've talked about this before too on the Finding Backcountry podcast. But you know, having an application strategy, a general application strategy, right? And what I mean by that is, you know, you can't just jump into all these states and just start applying and not really map out, you know, what you're after there. And mm-hmm. So, you know, for example, we have hunts in Colorado for deer, for example, that we know we can pick up every other year.
Yep.
You know, and so we're going to burn those points and we may push it back 1 year or whatever, but we know that we have that option there. And there's nothing more valuable in the application strategy than knowing that you have a guaranteed tag, right?
Yep.
It's something that you can set in stone, and you don't always have that. And so when you do, it's a huge advantage because then you have the option, right? It's like, right. Hey, I know I can draw this, or I could push it back a year if I need to.
Well, and understanding what and when you can turn stuff in. Like, yeah. I think Colorado's still this way. If you draw a Colorado tag and you want to keep your points and turn in your tag, don't you have to let them keep your money?
Yeah,
$600 for the tag, they just pocket.
Yeah, and you know, and there'll be time frames on some of those are different. Nevada, you can turn back in up to the day before the hunt.
Yep.
Some states, maybe Colorado, I think you have like 30 days. So they're all different, and you need to research that. But you know, and so along those lines, we'll kind of have a 0 to 3 year category. We'll have a 4 to say 6 or 8 year category, and then a 8 to 10 plus and beyond, where, you know, Arizona elk, mm-hmm. I throw in an app every year for the best units, never going to draw it for the, you know, it's going to take 15-20 years, and I just know that. And if I do happen to draw it, great. Like, yeah. I'll adjust
if that 0.01% chance. Our
New Mexico deer hunt 2 years ago.
Yeah, let's not talk. I'm not ready. Too soon.
And no, that's a sore subject.
We just That was a tough hunt. We had one of those tags that is kind of, you know, on paper it's highly sought after.
Right.
In person, we got our butts handed to us.
Wasn't just, the year for it.
Yeah, it was. Well, oh, yeah. I mean, there's all the excuses, but so anyway.
I mean, I'm heading down to New Mexico on Sunday yeah. night after this.
Nice.
For that, the odd ad.
Yep. That's drew that fun. My first year putting in, because I think it was, I can't remember who I was on a podcast with. I think it may have been like Cable Smith. Maybe John Stallone, but you know they were talking about Audad, and I'm like, what's he talking about? I gotta look this up. And I was like, oh, I have to have one of those. Right, I gotta hunt one of those.
Isn't it the cheaper one? Is it like the affordable man's sheep hunt kind of?
Yeah, it's like
so
the because it's an exotic, so yeah. It's and you know, I mean, you can do them in Texas,
but this
but, you
is
know,
like
New Mexico
this is public is, land, right?
Kind yeah, of this is like public yeah. public land, New Mexico Audad, and yeah, poor yeah. man's sheep hunt basically. Yeah. And it's New Mexico, so as a non-resident, you know, everyone's got an on right. equal footing as far as applying. And yeah. I put in this year for the first time, and, you know, full-on beginner's luck, drew the tag, and I'm super stoked to just bomb in there. And
you do it with a rifle or a bow?
So I'm taking the bow in because, yeah. you know, I want to at least try. But it's going to be one of those things. It's not like, okay, I'm trying for a week with the bow, and then right. I'm going to move to the rifle. I'm going to go in with the bow.
Situational.
I'm going to analyze the situation, and if I look at that and be like, oh, hell no, this is never going to happen. Yeah, I'm going to grab the rifle. Like, I will be the first to admit, like, this is not my big adventure September elk
right,
hunt.
Right, right,
like, where I'm looking for that experience. Like, this one is, like, I want to go enjoy the hunt, and I want to harvest something. Like,
Mark Smith cleans those things up with the 257 Weatherby down in Texas. He loves those yeah. things.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. I'm headed to Texas. Kind of same deal. It's not the... You know, it's not an adventure at all, but it's still fun. I'm heading to Texas next weekend with my pops and, like, his whole crew from Iowa, and really looking forward to going and shoot some hogs down there. So
that's just always yeah. a Texas hog hunt, I feel like, is just one of those, like, you just got to do it every so often.
Right.
Hunts, yeah, they're fun, man.
It's a trial and error bullet. Like, it's good bullet, experimental. Like, how's this one work? So no, I'm looking forward to it. So I kind of know, and it's relaxed. Like you don't have all the pressures of like your Idaho elk hunt, where it's like, I really really want to freaking harvest. It's like yeah, we're gonna go down, sling some bullets, maybe sling some arrows. It'll be fun.
Yep.
So it's good to have those hunts.
Yeah, but we were talking about harvest application plans, and that's always the same kind of thing. I've heard when, and kind of the rule of thumb I go by, you know, you guys have it a little more compartmentalized, but I usually do, you know, you got your every year hunts, the over-the-counter stuff, and stuff you just know you'll always draw. Like, there's some deer hunts in California I know I'll always draw on Kendro. Then, you know, you're 3 to 5 year kind of window.
Take some points, but it's not going to take your whole life to
right.
get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of... Basically, you know, you got your every year hunts, you know, I like Colorado, Idaho, you got over the counter deer in Arizona, which that is my favorite tag in the world. You know, I harvested my first big game animal on that tag this last August. And,
sure.
Yeah. Well,
then you got, your mid-range stuff. Like Wyoming's kind of my higher mid-range to higher hunts with antelope and maybe elk out there.
Yeah, you know, you can pick up that elk general elk tag in Wyoming as a non-resident with, I think, 2 points probably in the regular draw. So that's and that's, I've never hunted it, but from what I gather, it's a respectable, you know, it's going to be better than a lot of the other over-the-counter type hunts, and it only takes you 2 years to pick up. But
I was looking this year at Onyx because I've got 2 points in Wyoming right now for elk. I think 2 for elk, 2 for antelope. And I was looking at the elk units, and pretty much there was like a pretty minimal chance on some stuff, but it looked like what I was drawn on too was all wilderness. And so I was kind of like, I think I'm going to hold out a little bit longer and go for, you know, a little bit, something where I don't have to worry about a guide, but maybe I'll just call up Dustin and.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, no.
Hey, bro, you want to guide me?
Sure. Except you can't accept guide fees. You know, it's the point of all this that I gather is, you know, you just need to be, if you're into this and you want to, you know, because it's no secret, you know, these guys that kill big bulls and big bucks. They know what units to be applying for, and they're applying for most of them usually across the West. Just, you know, and you just got to be doing it right. Like when Corey and I worked at Shields and we were selling, you'd sell a guy a gun safe, right? And what would you say? Like, you always want to buy the safe for the amount of guns you think you're going to have someday.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of the same thing. Like it's hard for a 20-something year old or even a teenager to sit back and be like, well, geez, like I'm not going to drop, you know, $160, $200 to apply in Nevada for just points to hunt in 10 years. But, you know, I just talked to one of our good friends that's, you know, he's in his late 40s, coming up on 50, and he's been building points across the West for like, and he's sending me all these point totals for Colorado and Wyoming and Nevada, and it's now he can hand pick
mm-hmm.
whatever he wants. I mean, this guy, he's got 10 plus points for almost any species in those major Western states that you can build points for, and as long as you can swing that investment, and you got to be smart, obviously, don't max out a credit card, you know, just to invest in points, but you got to plan ahead in your life and just think, you know, the $50 elk bonus point in Wyoming right now might be hard as a, you know, a 22-year-old in college, but 10 years from now, I'm going to be the guy that all my friends are like, how'd you draw that tag? Well, yeah. I've been doing this for 10 years. Like, I've been investing in my passion for 10 years to make this happen, you know? So, anyway. Well,
that's actually, it's funny. It made me think of something. It's like, one of those things, too, is a lot of the states, yeah, you have to put up money up front. Some, you know, you have to buy a tag or a license to be able to apply. You know, they once again check all those regulations, what you're going to be paying. Some, you know, some, yeah, you could, ooh, puberty hit just there for a minute.
There you go.
Some you can, yeah, you're just paying the $15 application fee, whatever, that's great. But, like, honestly, what I did, I have a credit card that I paid off. It was kind of my emergency credit card. And I have that now reserved. That is my tag card. So right. I can, it actually helps me track how much I'm spending. Because I use an Amex otherwise, which I have to pay off every month, so I don't get myself into debt problems. But so this card, I don't have to pay off every month.
And it's is it probably interest free or something like that?
Not anymore. It was when I first got it, but
if you can find an interest free, you know, deal on a card, that's what you want to use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or something like that gets you points, because you'll get those credits back from something like, say, you're putting in for New Mexico. Okay, yeah, maybe, even if it's not interest-free, yeah, okay, maybe you're paying $20, you know, $20-$40 over the course of whatever, 2 months, while you're waiting for that draw to either happen or get refunded. You know, it's what I do. Obviously, I don't want to sit and encourage everyone, go open a new credit card.
Right, yeah.
But it's a method that works for me, where I'm not, like, stressing about cash out of pocket, and it gives me a chance to, if I need an extra month to pay off a higher-end tag that I end up drawing, it gives me that option.
Bottom line is, if it's something that really matters to you, you'll figure out a way to not, you know, go into overly excessive debt. You'll save the money throughout the year. My wife and I just started, you know, you can get on, like, we got on our bank account, and you can add all these little separate savings accounts that you can just, you know, and so I mm-hmm. just have money pulled every month, like 50, 100 bucks or whatever it is, into this hunting account that just sits there all year. And then I can use that for, you know, either applying for tags, or I'll go cash it out for mm-hmm. gas during hunting season or whatever. Yep.
It's amazing how much that adds up. Just a little bit a month, you can set up, most banks will let you set up like an auto deposit.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm going to spend that much on, you know, I'm going to spend $20 on food today.
Right.
You know, eating out. And I do that all the time, you know, any given day at work. And so if you just, you know, if it means something to you, you'll figure out a way. And if it doesn't, you won't. So.
No, and I think the other thing is research is free. Sitting down, learning states. And, it, especially coming from Iowa, I didn't have a background where I understood the lottery system other than it was just a lottery system. But learning and getting to know the ins and outs of the states, so you can take, you know, $100 or $1,000 and turn it into the best value possible, is super important. I was very fortunate to, you know, meet Dustin and Jason, and they really had a good foundation for you know, what states did what, but then understanding it's like, well, you know, I'm a little tight on money this year. New Mexico doesn't do points, you know, and so I'm going to sit out of that draw. But I, if I sit out of Wyoming, then I lose my points, you know. So understanding and, you know, seeing what your best value for, you know, $100 or $200 or $1,000 is important. And all that is research. So.
All right. So it's getting to be that time. These guys got to start working. And so we're winding up here. Always like to end really quick. We can do this one quick. Somebody comes up to you guys, you know, maybe they watched something you did, listened to the podcast, whatever that is, and they say to themselves, you know, hey, I don't have a background in this. I've never done this before. I don't really know anyone that hunts, but I want to get into it. It's just really intimidating. What advice would you guys, or maybe encouragement would you give them?
Hunting in general, you mean?
Yeah.
Find
somebody.
Yeah, find somebody maybe that you're not aspiring to be. Don't try to find, you know, don't try to go on a hunt with Cam Haynes. You know, find somebody who wants to learn right alongside you and is just as equally as passionate, you know, and just.
I've always said in my, like, these seminars that we do, like, when we talk about this, you know, if you want a friend, we'll call it, or if you want a hunting buddy, be a friend or be a hunting buddy, right? I mean, Corey's the prime example. He talks about us, you know, helping him with, you know, applications and tags and kind of getting him lined out on the Western hunting thing. But really, the part of that story that you don't hear or see all the time is, like, Corey's come on countless amount of hunts that were just my tag. And I didn't ask him to be there. I didn't expect him to be there. And he just showed up. He would just show up, and he was there for the whole week, either calling or packing or scouting or glassing or whatever. And he didn't even have a tag. And he's burning a week of vacation. And so guess what? When Corey draws his whatever limited entry elk tag in Utah, you better believe I'm going to be there. And so, you know, like, stop, you know, don't, it just can't always be, you know, if it's just how can I and get into this or whatever, you know, then it sometimes can take you longer than it should, you know, one step back, two step forward. And so if you latch on to someone, trust me, everyone loves a good pack mule,
right?
Like, yep. You won't run into a guy that, you know, if you're not an idiot and you can talk to him like a normal person and you get to know him and you're friends, you know, maybe you shoot together in your archery league or you go to the gun range together, whatever, and you just, you know, you get on that level and say, oh man, that's cool, you drew that great tag, like, hey, don't want to overstep my bounds, but do you mind if I come and just help you scout and pack it out? They're going to say, yep, that would be great.
Well,
and
so, that's, you know, how you then, learn. Yeah. You know, that's how I learned to hunt out, and that's, you know, how I still am. That's I approach south this year on it still. You know, it's like, hey, you need a collar? So I got just, an elk call.
Just, you know, be in those areas where guys are. Don't be afraid to, don't be afraid to invest you know, some of your vacation time, the first year hunts or whatever, to really, like, you know, earn people's respect. And then, you know, there's so many resources online nowadays, whether it's listening to this podcast or, you know, messaging people on Instagram. Like, what a resource that we have, that I could literally pull up my phone right now and probably get a response from, you know, whoever. I mean, and you can reach out, and if you're not an idiot and you just, you know, say, you know, come at it very,
graciously,
these guys will reach back out to you, you know, and they'll answer your questions. I remember years ago, I reached out to Guy Eastman on where to apply in Wyoming elk tag, and like, he just responded back, like, hey, you need to be looking at this unit and this unit. Like, that's really, you know, I was like, this is crazy. Like, Guy Eastman at the time was just so, like, he knew so much more than I did. And it's just one example. But, you know, use all the resources you have. Don't be an idiot. And good luck.
Yeah. Love it. Love the experience. Like, love the whole process of it.
Yep. Well, guys, thank you for sitting down. It's going to be a busy day today, starting to get rolling. But thanks for taking the time and hopping on.
Thank you. Want to commend you on just rolling with this podcast. It's been one of my favorites since you started it. So keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us on.
All right, y'all, that'll do it for episode 116 of Living Country in the City. Big thank you to Dustin and Corey for taking the time. It was really great sitting down and catching up with them both. Make sure y'all check out the show notes page at livingcountryinthecity.com/116, which will actually forward you onto the show notes page at thewildinitiative.com. So don't be surprised when you see that URL change. Also, make sure y'all head on over to Sawyer.com. Check out all the amazing products that can keep you safe and in the outdoors for longer this hunting season. Well, y'all, it's really kind of funny because even though I'm going to be releasing a whole other episode next week, it still feels like I'm kind of saying goodbye. Living Country in the City is going away, and next week you'll be listening to The Wild Initiative. It's been fun, y'all, but I'll see you next week. And for the last time, until next time, keep it country, y'all.
Thank y'all for listening to Living Country in the City. Get show notes and check out the blog, product reviews, events, and more at livingcountryinthecity.com.
Hey, John, I know you're probably busy this weekend, but I'd love to sit down and chat sometime.
Yes. It's that meme where the guy's walking down the street with his girlfriend, and he's looking back at that other girl. Yeah. And Sam's and the one would be Sam's holding hands with Team Backcountry looking at John Barr.
No, he's the guy, and we're the girl with him, and you would label it the podcast you're on, and then the podcast you actually want.
Yeah.
Like, the guest you actually want on your podcast, and we're like, what?
What? We're offended by it.
The guest you have versus the guest you actually want.
Is Ted Nugent's coming?
In Wild Country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.